It is Garden Talk live at KSRO with one of the premier landscape designers and nursery people in the state, and that would be Dave Fazio from Sonoma Mission Gardens. He's co-hosting Garden Talk this morning with me, Steve Garner, pinch hitting for Gwen Kilcher. Sonoma Mission Gardens has been around since the mid-1970s, over 40 years. They've also been on staff teaching in the horticulture department for that long, plant ID and landscape design for some 40 years. Multiple award winnings for his landscape designs and installations all over the state, and of course, predominantly here in wine country of Sonoma and Napa. 636-1350, if you have any gardening questions, design questions, of course, plant pruning, propagation, perennial, annual, vegetable starts, what to do when, with spring finally here, and we have a few days respite from the rains. I know a lot of folks are wanting to get out in their property and survey what's going on, see if plants need to be pulled yet, what we should and shouldn't be doing. We have open lines, no one on hold for this rare opportunity to chat with Dave Fazio. He'd love a chance to help you with your gardening and landscaping questions. 636-1350. You can call us now. We'll get you right on the air. Or you can always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. And if you're so inclined, you can send along some photos with your question. We'll take a question from Bob in just a couple minutes. He would like to do some landscaping in front of his house where he's recently removed from some pittosporum. And we'll have Dave look at those photos and give Bob some suggestions. Here's another one that just came in from Cindy. She's looking for a privacy hedge. Hi, Steve and Dave. I'm looking for a good-looking hedge. Think English garden that gets at least 6 feet tall or more, that thrives in Santa Rosa, pretty leaves. I don't like Fotinia. I'm in the Fountain Grove Hidden Valley area. One of your biggest fans, Cindy. What can you do for Cindy with those parameters, Dave?
Well, I'm going to assume that she probably has a deer problem if she's in Fountain Grove area. And the other thing is, I'm assuming that it would probably be in virtually a full sun location rather than a shady area. So there I would look at the tea trees, the leptospermums, although that's not going to be quite English gardeny looking because it's got a small leaf and they've got a lot of brownish coloration to them. But they do bloom in the deer and they're drought tolerant and all that sort of stuff. There would be a Texas privet, and also...
Is that too old school?
Well, but she's asking for an English garden look, which would, you know, and Texas privet's got that big, shiny, black-green leaf like a camellia on it.
Oh, that's nice.
So it would be very formal English gardeny looking. And then with a little bit smaller black-green leaf would be Rhamnus saliternus, the Italian buckthorn.
Oh, that's one of your faves.
And also there's English laurel... but that's more of a yellow green than a black green. So I mean that's two or three things that would probably work for her.
What about Escalonia?
If she's got deer problem, I wouldn't plant Escalonia.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be, if you read a lot of the lists, it's supposed to be deer resistant, but it isn't.
All right. Ceanothus?
The same thing.
Okay.
You know,
I'm hitting all the ones
you read
deer
Sunset's
liar.
List of deer-resistant plants. Ceanothus is included there, but they eat it.
Okay. So they're pretty.
And they're getting worse. You know, since the fires, the deer eat a lot of things they didn't used to eat, too.
Okay. Let's try to think of anything else that might work.
I mean, there are things like a lot of the juniper cypress type of things, which are easy and low maintenance and all that sort of stuff. And deer resistant and drought tolerant, but
Myoperum? Myoperum?
Myoperum?
Yeah.
I don't recommend Myoperum because it's got a little midge that makes the leaves all twisted and gnarly, and it's almost impossible to control.
Okay, I'm striking out. I'm trying.
It is deer resistant. It is sunshine and all that sort of stuff.
But a bad midge.
But it's got a bug problem that's not worth fighting.
Okay. So give us your top two or three once again.
I would probably go back to the Texas privet, Ligustrum japonicum texanum, or Rhamnus saliternus, the Italian buckthorn. And those, I think, as far as And the other thing would be Prunus loris cerasus. And I think because she's looking for something that would be a little bit taller or about 6 feet tall. Wait a minute. She wants more than 6 feet tall.
More than 6 feet.
Then I would use the straight Prunus loris cerasus because there's another variety called Prunus loris cerasus abeliana, the Zabel laurel, which has got a smaller leaf on it and it's got a better color to it.
Could you say that again or spell that for us, the Prunus? Which one you're recommending?
Oh, the one for her, I would just go with the loris cerasus, the straight English laurel.
Oh, English laurel. All right.
Yeah, which is, it's larger growing, and but it's also got a bigger leaf, and it also has a tendency to be a little more yellow, a yellow-green rather than a black-green. Whereas a Zabel laurel, but the Zabel only goes 6 to 8 feet with time.
Would any of the viburnums work in that area?
Awabuki Chindo would probably be a good choice.
Okay.
Because I think that's one of the viburnums that the deer leave alone, and it's evergreen, and it blossoms, and it's got a little bit of fragrance to it.
Okay. So those are the best bets for her in her Fountain Grove, Hidden Valley area.
Those are a few of the best bets, yeah.
Okay, Cindy, if you need some more recommendations, give us a shout at 636-1350 or shoot us another email if you want to follow up with Dave's answer. To the phones we go. Doc would like a word with us from Petaluma, California. Doc, welcome to Garden Talk Live with Dave Fazio. Hi.
Yeah, thanks for the show. I love it. Is it too early to plant corn?
I would say a little. I'd wait another couple of weeks till the weather got a little bit warmer than it is right now, because you want the ground to warm up, and the ground's still pretty cold.
Okay.
You know, and that's going to slow your seed germination down, and the longer those seeds sit there in kind of a dormant state, the more apt they're liable to be eaten by bugs and stuff. I mean, you could start them in pots or something if you wanted in a flat somewhere where it was a little bit more protected. And then transplant them out.
I was going to do them in the ground. I was going to put them in rows, so I'll wait a while.
Yeah, I would wait. You know, this is the 1st of April coming up. I would wait till at least the 15th or a little bit longer and see how the weather runs.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Anything else we can help you with?
No, I've got my onions and stuff ready in there, but I think it might be a little early for that, too, I think, isn't it?
No, onions are fine. Oh. Onions will take the cold weather. You know, my onions, I planted onions last fall, and they'll be ready to harvest in about 4 weeks, I think.
Oh, beautiful. All right.
Okay?
Thanks.
Sure?
That's Doc from Petaluma. Just received an email question this morning, and it says, "Hi, guys, what do you think? My orange tree had 30 oranges this year, and now it looks stressed. Leaves are dropping fast. Has good drainage. I used lots of aged horse manure last summer," and that's from Dave in Sevastopol. And Dave sent us a couple color photos. Ooh, leaves are looking pretty yellowed. That's a one photo.
Yeah, I'm sitting here waiting for this thing to load.
Okay.
So I can see the other picture of the citrus. But in looking at, the drainage may be good, but it was a really wet winter, and it was also a fairly cold winter at times, and it looks like your tree is suffering somewhat from the combination of the wetness and the cold. And if you haven't fertilized it recently, I'd give it a shot of fertilizer now that the weather's starting to warm up a little bit and dry out a little bit. They're talking about rain, so if you're using a granular thing, it would be good to get it on the ground and let the rain carry it in. I wouldn't put a granular out there and turn a hose on it again, because that's just going to aggravate the situation. But I think if you do some fertilizing on that this season, it should pop back for you real well, because it's still got a fair amount of leaves on it. They're just kind of yellow and ugly looking.
So you think it's the result of this, you know, unprecedented amount of water?
Well, the unprecedented amount of water and also the wet and cold combined. And it's not that the thing was standing in a puddle or anything. It's the fact that the ground was continually wet. And a lot of plants will lose a lot of their feeder roots with the ground staying wet all the time.
Okay.
And I think just a little bit of TLC this season and it should pop back for him.
And hope that helps. If not, shoot us another email. And, you know, I can't get the thought of the best shrub for the Fountain Grove Valley. And I just picked up Sunset, and I opened a Xylosma Congestum. What do you think about Xylosma?
Oh, well, Xylosma is nice, and it generally tends to be deer resistant.
Yeah.
And the other, and now that you said that, there's also another one called Eleagnus.
Oh,
which is deer resistant, but it's got kind of a gray green foliage, and there's one variety that's got a gold leaf, a gold blotch in the middle of the leaf and stuff too, and they're both fairly fast growing. Xylosma would be more in the English garden tradition that she's looking for than the Eleagnus would.
Okay, so Cindy, there's another suggestion, the Xylosma congestum. That might work for you for your privacy hedge and would get about 6 feet, if not higher?
Well, with time, and it'll go even higher than 6 feet.
Okay. So there's another one to put on your list.
Yeah. There's some old ones over at the JC that are probably close to 15, 18 feet, maybe 20 feet.
Oh, my gosh. So they would, you can really get them up high.
As time goes on.
As time goes on. So, Cindy, there's another, if you're still listening, another suggestion from Dave. You told a wonderful story since we talked about the children's gardening book that's being told, that's being read this morning at Barnes & Noble here in Santa Rosa, called We Are the Gardeners, brand new gardening book. And you told this charming story about a, I guess it was a grandmother that brought in her 7-8-year-old grandchild a while back.
Yeah, you know. Today's children are tomorrow's customers is the way nursery people look at it and stuff. And there was a lady that had had a, he was like 7 or 8 years old, and don't even remember, but she came in with him, and they had looked around for a little bit, and then I offered them help, and I was talking with her, and she had asked her questions or two, and then she turned to the child and goes, ask the man what you're looking for, because you're looking, you got something in particular. And he turned and he looked at me and he goes, I want Leptospermum scoparium. And I was just flabbergasted, because he caught me completely off guard. I thought he was going to ask for petunias or something, you know. But here's this kid that's 6 or 7 years old that is actually so into gardening that he was knew his botanical names already.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. That's
I offered
future.
Him a job.
Dave Fazio, Sonoma Mission Gardens, hosting Garden Talk with me, Steve Garner. You can reach Dave direct right now. Great opportunity, pinch hitting for Gwen Kilcher today at 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment. You can have your own one-on-one private conversation, or you can shoot us an email and have Dave's eagle eye take a look at your question. And if you have some photos, he'll give you great advice. He's owned Sonoma Mission Gardens for 40 plus years and has been designing and installing award-winning landscaping throughout Northern California for the same amount of time, and was Garden Talk Show co-host for some 17 years. 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. We'll go right to your calls after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Home. It's your retreat, especially at this time of the year when all you want to do is get out of the cold and into your comfy place. I'm Pat Kerrigan. That's why I invited Henry Mechanical into my home to see what they could do about some heating issues I had. You don't really know a company until you've seen them in action. 2 hours later, a years-old problem with my heating system was solved. Comfort returned. Ask Henry Mechanical about their Mitsubishi-zoned comfort solutions. It could save you from a temperature drop when you head to the back of the house. Mitsubishi-zoned comfort solutions, one of the ways that Henry Mechanical employs to make sure your home system is perfect for you. Installing a new heating system or fixing the one you have can be a dirty business. Not with these guys. They're prompt, polite, clean, and professional. Who can you trust your comfort to? Henry Mechanical, a local business that's in the business of your comfort. Call 707-838-3311 or visit henrymechanical.com.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
Need to move mom and dad? Need to sell the house to pay for their care? With extensive experience in senior relocation, estate liquidation, trust, and probate, I can help ease the strain of relocating an aging parent or settling an estate after the loss of a loved one. I'm connected with senior move managers and realtors locally and across the country for a smooth transition when relocating to a care facility or out of the area.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community too.
I've adopted a Care Serve Give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care Serve Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
And now, here's a health update from the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
In Sonoma and Marin counties, being outdoors hiking, camping, and enjoying the fresh air is what we do. Living in the tall grasses on the hillsides and the fallen leaves along the trails are ticks. Ticks are year-round in Marin and Sonoma counties, so be sure to protect yourself from ticks and tick-borne diseases by applying a repellent containing DEET to exposed skin. Wear light-colored clothing with long sleeves and long pants and check yourself for ticks. Don't forget to check your pets for ticks, too.
The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District is an independent special district committed to protecting public health from mosquitoes and vector-borne disease. All programs and services are funded through benefit assessments and property taxes. Services are provided to all residents in Marin and Sonoma counties at no additional charge.
Learn more about ticks at msmosquito.com. Who doesn't like a quickie? At Inform Fitness of Northern California, you will. In just 1 or 2 20-minute weekly sessions, you'll build strength, gain muscle, and improve your energy using their revolutionary science-based method. This month, find your pot of gold and get strong, energized, and healthy at Inform Fitness. Feel the difference 20 minutes can make. Call 385-9860 or go to informfitness.com/Rohnert Park and find your pot of gold today.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk. It's live. It's KSRO. We were having a deer-resistant discussion during the break and how with the massive rains and, of course, the results of the fire, that deer are probably going after a lot of vegetation that maybe they're not as deer-proof as it was in years past.
Yeah. Yeah, you see a lot of things on my... I had Myrica californica, the Pacific wax myrtle, on a couple of jobs, and they've been there for like 3 or 4 years. Deer never touched them, and all of a sudden they've got them almost stripped. And all, it's just, you know, weird because you don't know what they're going through or what they're going to do on you.
Kathy, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. You're on with Dave Fazio. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a leach field, a new septic system, and so it's a new build, and so everything's barren around it. I want to plant some colorful plants, but I have to be aware of things that'll have roots that go too far and get into the leach lines. And what would you recommend for colorful landscape nearby a septic leach field?
Is this a mound system, or is it an actual just a leach field with the pipes in the ground?
Yeah, it's an actual leach field with the pipes in the ground.
Basically, and I think you could probably get a list from the county, but primarily what they suggest, or what is suggested for that, are things that don't root too deeply. And generally, you would kind of lean somewhat also towards things that are more drought tolerant. They will tolerate the moisture from the leach field, but they shouldn't give your pipes a bad time. And, you know, a lot of leach fields are planted with things like a lot of the salvias, the different varieties of sages, the lavenders, the rosemary, some of the lower growing rock roses, Another thing would be junipers that would work in that kind of a situation too, mm-hmm. if you're not adverse to them. And, you know, there's a number of ground covers you could use. In a leach field area, you want to stay away from anything that's going to get like 6 to 8 feet or taller, basically. And then using a lot of the perennial flowering type of things that would be lower growing, more moundy like, would work really well for you.
Did you have any particular things you were thinking about planting, Kathy?
Well, I also have a ear problem, so I know that rosemary, they don't seem to bother, and I would love to plant some ground cover rosemary that would work.
Ground cover rosemary should do the trick for you. You can also get, you know, color out of a lot of the salvias, the sages. There's a whole raft of those. There's a little rock rose that blooms white in the spring called sage leaf rock rose. It's low growing and drought tolerant and deer resistant. You know, there's quite a number of odds and ends that'll do well in there and bloom for you. And don't get something that's going to be really, really close to the ground, you know, that's going to be 4 or 6 inches tall, because over a leach field, you're going to be fighting weeds in there all the time. Whereas if you get something like rosemary or the rock roses or something that's going to grow a foot, foot and a half in height, it's going to fight the weeds out. It'll shade the area and the seeds won't grow.
And what about California poppies? Will those be okay, and will deer bother those?
Generally, they don't bother them, and they should do fine out there. But normally with California poppies, you're going to want to put the seed out in the fall time rather than at this time of the year, unless you're going to water it.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'll do that next year then. But in the meantime, I could use lavender, rosemary, and rock rose.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Yeah, and I mean, those are just a few of the things that you could use out there. There's quite a number of other plantings that could be done, too.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't have to have a big bare-looking dirt lawn forever, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, a lot of people will take an area like that and they'll want to plant all of the same thing. And you could actually develop a little bit of more of a garden look that's got more ups and downs and things that flower at a little different season, so it's not all, you know, one big monotonous planting.
Good idea. Yeah, I thought maybe I had to just put gravel over it and just, you know, maybe put a couple of pots of flowers here and there. I'm excited that I can actually plant.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, I think they still have it, but I was involved a number of years back in when they did the mound septic systems. Putting a list of plant materials together that were suggested for that, because they are things that don't root so deeply and they don't like a ton of water, so the roots don't go into your pipes and mess your system up. And I believe that's available through the county, or you might even go online and go to the Google UC system for septic system plantings and stuff, because there are a lot of different lists out and available.
Oh, wonderful. I had no idea. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. You came to the right place, Kathy, and thanks for your call. 636-1350. Let's grab Jerry's question before we take our half-hour break. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Jerry.
Hi there. My question is that I have various fruit trees, and with everything going on this year, I never did get them pruned. Is it too late to prune them now? Should I just leave them until next year? What do you think? I have apples, persimmons, peaches, various, there's other things too, Asian pears.
At this point in time, because they're probably blooming or going to be in full bloom in a day or two if the sun stays out, I would probably have a tendency to, if I was going to prune, do a light pruning, not a real heavy pruning like you would do in December or January. And or you could just leave them be this season and then do a pruning next year, or you could even do a summer pruning on them later on in the season after you actually harvest your fruit off the trees. The persimmon shouldn't need a ton of pruning under normal situation anyway. But things like apples and peaches and stuff, if you leave that there, be very careful. If you don't do any pruning, be careful because if they set a heavy crop of fruit, they might get really burdened, and then, you know, the branches may break, so you might have to do a little bit of what they call Italian crutches or whatever, where you stick sticks underneath them to help support the branches so they don't break on you.
Are these full-grown trees?
Yes, but they're not. Most of them are not huge. We cut them down before we planted them. That makes sense. We cut off the bare root, so they're shorter.
So if they're shorter and stuff, you could probably leave them go for a year without any pruning on them and not have any difficulties.
And they've all done well for you as far as producing fruit in the past?
Yes, I'm particularly worried about the apples because they tend to get heavy.
Yeah, if you're not going to prune them this season, later in the season, in around probably mid to late June, after the fruit drop happens, go through and do some thinning if it looks like they're overburdened.
Oh. Okay.
You know, that way you're not breaking a lot of branches off because of the weight of the fruit.
And did you say you had Asian pear too?
Yeah.
And you don't have any disease problems with your Asian pear?
Frankly, I haven't looked at them, but they did some production last year, but it was limited. Excuse me. They used to just be covered in fruit, but not so much anymore.
I'm wondering, does pear blight hit Asian pear too, Dave?
Pear blight will hit Asian pear, and it'll also hit apples and stuff too that are related to it. And the fire blight or pear blight, as you're talking about, was really bad the last couple of seasons. Now, it could be bad again this year, or it may not be a problem at all. You never know with that stuff.
So if you want to do some selective pruning for the apple, wait till after the bud break in late June or so?
If she got on this weekend, she could do some selective pruning now, or she could do some selective pruning in the summertime. Or the other thing is, she could forget about pruning altogether and just do some thinning in late June, you know, of the fruit, and actually pick some of the fruit off if there is too much there.
Does that answer your question? Does that answer your question, Jerry?
Yes, that's good. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Welcome. Thanks for calling. We'll take a break. We can come back and take some more questions at 636-1350 for Dave Fazio. He's 30 minutes away from leaving the greenhouse. I would take advantage while you can, since we have about 72 hours of beautiful weather until the rains return Monday night and into Tuesday. Get some things done and do some evaluation of your property as far as what needs to be done or what can be done at another time. You can also shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. If you'd like to include some photos, please do. We'd love to see what you're up against or up to in your yard and garden. At 1105, Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM. 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor. 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Amazing experience from beginning to end. Introducing Miss Yelp with a real Yelp review from another grateful client of Dr. Walter Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center in Santa Rosa. You won't find a more honest, sincere doctor or staff in this area. My surgery was pretty close to having a spa day. I was awake, not in pain, getting a head massage, and listening to my favorite music. I am so pleased with the results, and I have and I will recommend Dr. Tom to anyone. My husband is an even happier man now.
Hi, this is Dr. Walter Tom. My staff and I are dedicated to improving our patients' self-confidence by enhancing their self-image with advanced technology and education in a warm, safe, and secure environment.
For your free consultation with Dr. Tom, please call 542-8346. That's 542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
Call 542-8346 or visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
Hey, it's George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. That's right, my team and I have partnered with Cross Country Mortgage to deliver fast closings, great interest rates, and the largest selection of loan programs available. Did you know that nearly half of all Sonoma County real estate purchases are made with all cash? That's tough for the other half to compete with, but not for our clients. With Cross Country's fast track pre-approval, our buyers can close in as little as 10 days and with no loan contingency. In some cases, we can even waive an appraisal. Worried about rising interest rates? That's okay, because Cross Country's unique lock and shop program lets our pre-approved buyers lock in today's rate while they search for their perfect home. If you're ready to buy or refinance, visit georgeadare.com or call me at 583-8100. Again, go to georgeadare.com or call 583-8100 to begin a great lending experience.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and Georgia Dare, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Hello, this is Dr. Goodwin at Sequoia Mind Health in Santa Rosa. I'm a UCSF-trained psychiatrist welcoming new clients to our 4th Street practice. Here at Sequoia Mind Health, our focus is not on mental illness, but on mental wellness. Our goal is to help you maintain lifelong wellness by combining cutting-edge Western medicine approaches like IV ketamine infusions, ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, and deep TMS with alternative medicine and whole-person care. At Sequoia Mind Health, you can see your psychiatrist, physician assistant, nurse practitioner, therapist, and acupuncturist all under one roof. And yes, we take private insurance. This month, we are excited to welcome to our practice Peter Timmerman, a physician assistant who, in addition to mental health, has a special interest in diabetes and lipidology. Visit SequoiaMindHealth.com today to learn more about our team. SequoiaMindHealth.com. Get well, stay well.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
A few clouds for today, high 70 degrees, 60 along the coast. Partly cloudy tonight, though low 42, 44 on the shores. Very similar for tomorrow, though high 73 in Santa Rosa, 63 in Bodega Bay. Monday, cloudy at 69, 61 along the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Meet Cam, Internal Maintenance Manager at Grayton.
We promise that we have the appreciation that comes with a good job.
Now hiring. Visit GraytonResortCasino.com for details.
In the KSRO greenhouse, it is none other than Dave Fazio from Sonoma Mission Gardens, his beautiful nursery in Sonoma at Craig and Arnold, been around for some 40-plus years. It is a landmark nursery and deserves to be visited and visited frequently. If you've not been out these beautiful days ahead of us, at least for the next two or three, take a drive out to Sonoma Mission Gardens and you will be amazed if you are a longtime resident and that you've never been out there and enjoyed it. You can reach Dave now at 636-1350 for any gardening questions. You can also shoot us an email during the next 15 minutes or so, and we'd be glad to answer the question via email. On the phone is Barbara, who'd like a word with you, Dave. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Oh, thank you. My call is like a lot of calls. I didn't get a chance this year to prune my elderberry that grows 10 feet every year. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what will if I still can prune it, or will it grow 10 more feet?
Is she exaggerating, Dave?
No. If she's been pruning her elderberry, it's like I tell my pruning class, pruning's a form of invigoration. When you prune, you have to expect regrowth. And mm-hmm. a lot of times if you don't prune, you'll find that the plant will throw some growth, but it won't be, like you said, 10 feet this year. It'll probably be less than that. But if you prune it back, you would get your 10 feet out of it. And with the elderberry, I would think you would be okay at this point, because it buds a little later, and it shouldn't bleed too badly on you if you wanted to prune
it
back.
Okay, yeah,
anyway.
I usually cut it at its knees, uh-huh. So I really am invigorating it every year, I guess.
Exactly, and that's why you're getting all that growth uh-huh. back.
Okay, so I can get in there and it's
hack
kind of
away.
A back.
Yeah, and you know, if you get out there and you notice that there's a lot of swollen buds and they're starting to pop on you and stuff, you might go a little bit less severely on it. But you should be fine.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Nice talking to you. Thanks for calling, Barbara.
We have an email from Bob. He sent us four different photos. He reports that his pittosporum that he has planted in his front yard bit the dust over the years of drought and neglect. He's yanked it all out. We have a photo of about a 15-foot length by about 2 feet right in front of his house. He gets, he says, I get afternoon sun, and the photo here, he has a large ginkgo in front of this bed surrounded by low-growing juniper, and he's looking for a replacement, either evergreen or something else. Maybe you can see it's about 2 feet he's got to plant, and there's a picture window maybe about 2.5, 3 feet up, so it would have to be about 1.5, 2 feet that he could keep possibly pruned and look interesting. Do you have some suggestions?
Well, he's in Oakmont too, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes,
so, which means that he's probably got deer. You could there's a number of things. You could do a multi-planting of, you know, like 3 or 4 plants in there. And or you could do all of one hedge sort of look across the front. And if you're going to do the hedge sort of look, I would probably consider something like the Raphiolepis, the pink Indian, which are called pink Indian hawthorn, are pretty good. And there's a number of those that only get about 3 feet tall. And they're generally evergreen. And then they bloom pink in the spring. And sometimes you'll get a little bit of color out of them in the fall.
Okay.
If you want a little bit more texture in there, you might use like a couple of Breath of Heaven. Not the sunset gold, but the upright ones, because the bed's too small for the sunset golds. But if you use the upright Breath of Heaven on the ends.
Oh, at both ends of that bed?
Yeah, on the outside of the window, because I'm looking at it, I would be fearful, unless you wanted to trim it to keep it down, it would eventually cover part of the window.
Oh, I see.
And maybe underneath the window, doing something like some lavender. Some of the sages would work in there. There's also, you know, the grasses are more contemporary looking.
Oh.
And there's a number of those that would work in there. The only bad thing about most of the grasses are not evergreen. They're going to turn brown in the winter time.
Okay. This is the front of the house. I think they want something that's evergreen. That sounds like Bob wants.
Yeah, they might look at something like, if they like the kind of grassy look, they might look at some of the dwarf formiums or flaxes, which have got more of a sword blade type of look, and they're a little stiffer. The fortnight lily would be stay evergreen in there and bloom either whiter or yellow for you during the summertime. And stay under your window again, too.
Deer resistant to fortnight lily.
Yeah. And
I don't think they want to plant pittosporum again. And boxwoods, just kind of
well,
boring.
Boxwoods are going to, you said it. Boxwoods, I mean, you know, if it was an English garden or something, boxwoods would be fine. But but it's not an English garden. Look, you're just putting kind of like a low foundation planting in. And to me, I would pick a couple of plants that I really liked and arrange them in there. And it's not like planting one of these and one of the next thing and one, you know, keep repeating it. But I would do something that might get a little bit higher on the ends and something that would stay a little lower to the middle.
So a Raphian, let's see.
Raphiolepis.
Raphiolepis, the pink Indian hawthorn. Would that be one, Bob? And Breath of Heaven, you said, the upright ones that maybe would frame one on each end. And you could keep those, it's 4 to 6 feet?
Over a period of time, they would get 4 to 6 feet. So they'd go up above the bottom of the window a little bit. And then if you put, for instance, lavender
or sages
or something underneath the window, you'd have a nice combination. And you'd get not only the pink or the white flower out of the Breath of Heaven in the spring and a little bit in the fall, but and it's got a very soft texture to it. It's kind of blows in the wind and stuff. And then you could do something like one of the sages underneath the windows or lavender underneath the windows, which would give you a gray foliage and some purple or colored flowers.
So it wouldn't be too disjointed to mix in different plantings underneath that window. You don't think you don't need a monochromatic look. As far as your eye goes.
As far as I'm concerned, no. But I wouldn't, you know, in that planter area, I wouldn't stick 8 or 10 different plants. I would pick
two or three,
two, maybe three that I really liked and use those and do a little bit of a pattern thing with them or something.
And then about the Fortnite Lily, talk a little bit about a little bit more with that.
A lot of people, and you say Fortnite Lily to them and they look at you cross-eyed, but if you tell them Texaco Lily, they all know, at least the older generation, because they were planted at every Texaco gas station in the state of California.
Really?
it's just a green kind of sword blade type of leaf to it, and then they bloom theoretically every fortnight, and you can either get them in a white with a, they've got a little bit of a purpley blue and yellow dots towards the center, or you can get them in a yellow with kind of a crimsony brown colored dot on them.
Nice.
And they're both quite nice and very easy, and the deer don't like them, at least not yet. And
they'll stay at 2-3 feet or so?
Yeah.
Wow. Have to take a look at those too. And Bob, we hope you'll have a look, because I'm not familiar with those. I'll have to look them up. Hope that answers your question. If you need more information, there's a lot of things to chew on there from Dave. You can call us or shoot us another email, steve@ksro.com or 636-1350. Cleared the lines. We'll take a few more calls and questions. So no waiting if you get in now for Dave Fazio.
Loose ball to Thompson. Throw ahead, KD.
I have nothing to do with the Knicks.
One step and a right hand dunk for Durant and a timeout.
KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta made from her produce. Shop the market's creative local artisans and sample fresh-made pastries and bread that are still warm. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once. Over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta made from her produce. Shop the market's creative local artisans and sample fresh-made pastries and bread that are still warm. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Thank you. In the greenhouse, it's Dave Fazio. Joining me, Steve Garner, today. Gwen will be back next week. She has the Saturday off today, and it's great that Dave from Sonoma Mission Gardens had an opportunity to come in and sit in with us. It's wonderful to have him on the show, as always. You can reach Dave in the next few minutes if you have a last-minute gardening question or landscape design question at 636-1350. It's as simple as that. Or shoot us an email, steve@ksardo.com. Cindy from Petaluma would like a word with you. Dave, welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Cindy.
Thank you. Good morning. I have a Japanese maple that just drowned after every rain. I would have to tip it to get the water out. Now I want to, you know, make that better. Can I just cut underneath the pot, cut the roots off so I could just put more soil in the pot?
You could root prune it and put it back in the pot. You could move it to a bigger pot. And the other thing that I would do, because is it sitting like in the mud or on dirt?
I believe so.
If you pull it, because maybe what's happened is that it sent a root out through the bottom and through the hole in the bottom. And
yes.
If you clean that up and take a screwdriver or something and stick it up through the hole and kind of open that up a little bit, and then put a couple of pieces of flagstone or boards or something underneath it to lift it up off the ground,
okay.
It should
okay.
drain better for you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, that was a quick answer.
Yeah, because Japanese maples will tolerate a lot of moisture, but they don't like to float.
Okay, does that answer it, Cindy?
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, simple as that. I like the idea of the screwdriver approach, sticking that screwdriver in there to open it up.
Well, it's amazing because I had a maple where in a pot and the bamboo came right up into the hole that was in the ground underneath it and plugged the hole and virtually the pot didn't drain at all until I realized that the bamboo was in there.
Oh.
And then we had to tip it over and move it and everything else.
But it survived?
Oh, yeah.
It did fine.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in, I think, what you call like almost the swing season of vegetables starting to kind of come in. What can we be planting? Because everybody is just so adamant about getting some things in the ground or at least started.
You can still do a kind of a late planting of a lot of the cool crops, you know, the broccoli and the cauliflower and, you know, the lettuces you can plant at this point and stuff too. My manager told me, she says, well, there are a few tomatoes coming in this weekend, but it's still a little early for the tomatoes. And like getting a lot of your warm season vegetables to start from seed, like the corns and the squashes and cucumbers and stuff, I would really wait another couple of weeks.
Okay.
It's just a little early and the ground's still cold and we're due for more wet and cold. So.
Hold off on green beans and all these things. You're not going to see those quite yet. And remember our last frost date, if you've been listening to Garden Talk for the last 32 years, it's May 15th. I talked to Gwen about this last week on the show, and she said, not as far as I'm concerned, said it's April 15th.
Generally, you're safe on the 15th of April, but we have been known to have frost as late as May 15th.
Okay. So
Gwen's not that old.
That's right. Oh, she'll love that you said that. That Gwen has not been around as long as Dave. So we've seen frost, haven't we, in late April, early May?
Yeah.
Okay, so another few weeks could make all the difference between having to buy all new stock.
Yeah, and you know, you can plant things, and the ground's cold. They're just going to sit there anyway. They're not going to do anything for
it. So there, hold off a word to the wise. We'll be back right after this.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County. And it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. And our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show 2018.
The nursery is ready for spring. There's spring color, bulbs, ferns, succulents, and houseplants all bursting with spring growth. Spruce up the yard or the house with flowers for Easter. Easter lilies and calla lilies are in stock now. Planning to landscape this spring or need a design for a rebuild? Ask Daniel about his design services and packages.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Enjoy Easter with the family at the Inn at the Tides in beautiful Bodega Bay. Overlooking the water with gorgeous views of the bay, the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn at the Tides serves fresh local seafood, California and Italian cuisine year-round. All ingredients sourced locally and organic when available. Make this holiday special and enjoy a relaxing Easter Sunday with the family at the Bayview Restaurant with a special Easter menu served from 10:30 to 7. Start with a complimentary mimosa, then enjoy first courses like asparagus soup with creme fraiche or the Dungeness crab cocktail. Then select main courses that include crab cake benedict or their grilled lamb chop with rosemary and cabernet glaze. Finish with specially created desserts, including a Gianduja Mousse Tower or Meyer Lemon Tart. Reservations are still available. Children 12 and under are half priced. The Inn at the Tides. It's less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com for more info.
Hey, cybercriminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Have you and the family talked about hitting the highway and taking that dream vacation? Or a weekend getaway to the mountains or the coast? Santa Rosa RV's been making those dreams come true since 1992. Santa Rosa RV puts their customers first with a no-pressure, relaxed experience while looking for their new or pre-owned recreational vehicle. Quality brands like Rockwood, Grand Design, Arpod, and Forest River is what you'll find at Santa Rosa RV. Go to SantaRosaRVSales.com and make that dream come true.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO with Dave Fazio and Steve Gardner. We've got about, I would say about 30 seconds, just enough time to say, well, the listeners gave your brain a good workout today, didn't it? You went in a lot of different directions, answered a lot of different questions. Thank you so much for coming in, as always.
My pleasure.
And people can see, well, won't see you, but they'll see the nursery. Are you open 7 days a week yet? Or
No.
Not yet.
We haven't been open 7 days a week in years.
Okay.
We're still closed on Tuesdays. We're there the rest of the week.
Okay. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Take a drive out to Arnold and Craig in Sonoma and check out Sonoma Mission Gardens. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Coming into the KSRO kitchen in just a few minutes, Chef John Ash. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.